This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Time now for our Michael Jackson update. Here we have from Santa Maria, California. We're going to be talking here with Herb Sewell. Herb is, as you know, a now free, but was incarcerated as a child molester. And Herb, you there?
I just detected the theme. Is that the theme from Psycho?
Yes.
Now that is twisted.
Herb, as they say, the shoe fits. I'm listening to, what is it, slot machines?
Yes, I'm I hope you don't mind, Phil, but I was taking a little time for myself at the Chumash Casino here. It's just down from Santa Maria here in the Solvang area, and I just wanted to take a little time for myself.
That's fine. I just
but I have to tell you that the theme from Psycho is I suppose I should be accustomed to your sort of warped sense of humor, you know. But I will tell you this, Phil. In comparison to some of the people I've known, you're positively you've got your feet on the ground. So that's a compliment, you know.
Well, thank you very much, Herb. So the Michael Jackson case winds into yet another rather twisted phase. My understanding is that Mr. Jackson was on the stand. Well, wasn't on the stand, but he was in the courtroom today crying. Did he show up late, or what exactly was the situation with Michael Jackson vis-a-vis today's trial?
Michael Jackson did show up late. He was crying. He apparently had some back pain. But things are not going very well for the press is calling him Jacko, and I suppose that's sort of like calling a Jack the Ripper Jacko. You know, in other words, I think that Michael Jackson, with all due respect to the wonderful work that he's done as an artist, he's as guilty as sin, and there's no question in my mind that he will be found guilty by this court. Now, I don't know whether or not he's going to get any really serious prison time, but the man knows he's guilty. They had a psychiatrist on the stand today who was asked point blank by the defense attorney. Now, there's an old saying, Phil, in the legal, you know, legal circles, you never ask a question you don't already know the answer to. And Michael Jackson's attorney made the cardinal mistake of attorneys. He asked a question today that apparently he did not know the answer to, because he asked a psychiatrist, a very objective psychiatrist, by the name of Dr. I'm looking at my notes here, Yukizo, and he said, can't you imagine a boy making a false claim of sexual abuse after being heavily influenced by the mother? To which Dr. Yukizo replied, only 2-6% of molestation allegations turn out to be false. You know, so it looks like Michael Jackson, as they say, is twisting in the breeze there, you know, in Harvard Yard. And it's that.
So in other words, this attorney asked a pretty dumb question, given the answer.
I would decidedly say yes, so absolutely yes, and so.
Now I want to again say to my audience, you did 8 years on child molestation and sexual abuse charges. You were in a forensic hospital, as you say, which is a psychiatric hospital at Atascadero.
That is correct. Yes,
and so you, after going through all of this, including electroshock and insulin shock, were released to a halfway house, and now you're out in society. You are not offending. You are not committing crimes. You are reporting to parole officers. You are a registered sex offender, but you are keeping yourself out of trouble, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. That is correct, and it is a decision that I have made based upon some very good treatment that I got at the forensic hospital. But I must tell you that I was decidedly more sick than Michael Jackson, and the people that I was hospitalized with were decidedly more sick than Michael Jackson. And so Michael Jackson.
And do you think this is the only child that Michael Jackson's ever molested?
No, I absolutely not. No, I don't think this is the only child he's ever molested. But you have to understand that I was incarcerated for violent crimes against children, as well as women. And men and women that I, mostly men that I was incarcerated with, were also incarcerated for violent crimes, including murder against children, women, and other men. So you're looking at a decidedly different class. Michael Jackson, you know, I don't want to say that we've got a stratification at Tasker. Dow, but if Michael Jackson were out in the yard with us at the Tascadero, we'd have him, you know, we'd have him go run and find the basketball in the bushes, you know. So in other words...
All right, so he was like a lower rung.
Oh, he decidedly so, yeah. But the individuals that we're talking about, that I was hospitalized with, are very, very seriously ill. Michael Jackson, I think, is ill. I think Michael Jackson definitely needs treatment. I think Michael Jackson needs to be incarcerated, and I'm very sorry to have to say this to all of his all of his bleating fans outside the gates there, with all the, you know, but I'm afraid that Michael's going to have to beat it for a few years, you know, because I think that really...
All right, can I interrupt you, Herb?
Yeah, certainly, Phil.
Let me ask you about the people that you've known on a sliding scale. You mentioned Walter Belhaven. You've mentioned Randall Toomey. These are men that committed murder. What about men who were strictly in for sexual molestation and abuse? Were, other than yourself, do you know of any that have been, quote, rehabilitated, or at least released into society and haven't been offending?
I don't know of any like myself that has of yet stopped offending. I know some that went into the halfway house system were rearrested and reincarcerated. Blanchard Hoyle is a classic example of this. Blanchard, of course, you don't know the name, but Blanchard was incarcerated along with me. In fact, was in the very same forensic wing as I was. Blanchard was quite ill, and at one point was receiving several rounds of electroshock a month because of the crimes of violence that he had committed against children. Blanchard was very seriously ill and quite delusional. But through the good work of Dr. Cornwallier and Dr. Richard, who used to call him Dr. Maurice the Rocket Richard, because he had the same name as a famous hockey player. And
so his name was Maurice the Rocket?
His name was Maurice Richard, but we called him the Rocket because there was a hockey player that name by that name.
And there was another doctor named Dr. Cornwallier?
Yes, Eve Cornwallier.
Ain't there a hockey player named that, too?
Ain't there a hockey player? I don't know, Phil, really.
Well, there is. So you got two doctors up there named after hockey players.
Well, shut my mouth. I don't know. I'm just simply saying, Dr. Cornwallier, and they worked with Blanchard for quite a while. You have to understand how ill Blanchard was. Blanchard would come in for his electroshock and would leap up onto the gurney, put his hands behind his head, and fold his legs over each other as if he was about to get himself a suntan and lay out and read a good book. I mean, this is how much this sick man looked forward to electroshock, you know. I mean, and yet, through the good work of Dr. Cornwallier and Richard, he was able to bring his personality into a fairly integrated state, and was remanded into the, or at least I should say transferred to the halfway house, and was a good boy, you know, for a good 8 months until he began offending again.
And are you telling me this guy looked forward to electroshock?
Oh my God, yes, absolutely. I was told by two of the patient trustees that he would literally skip into the ward where much of the electroshock and insulin shock was done, skipping in, humming to himself, jump up onto the gurney as if it was a chaise lounge, and just in a very relaxed manner, they would apply the electroshock, and he looked forward to it month after month. As a matter of fact, he used to say to me, you know, Herb, I don't think I'm, quote, current this month, and then he would howl with laughter. I think the reference was to current and voltage and this kind of thing, you know. You know, and I finally did get there.
Boy, these are some sick people. So they let this guy out?
They let him out, yes. And I thought that he was capable, certainly, of reintegration into what we call the normal world. But we found out that within 8 months, Blanchard was up to his old games again, you know. And so they did rearrest him, yes.
And he's back up there?
Yes, he is, yes.
Are they still giving him electroshock? Why give electroshock to some guy that looks forward to it?
I don't know. I mean, I can tell you, in the case of Randall Toomey, Randall hasn't said a word since he was arrested. But Randall scribbled a note to one of the patient trustees, and the note said that lethal injection was the last big kick. In other words, it was the only thrill he hadn't yet had. Can you imagine that?
Death.
Yes, death. Exactly, death, yes.
He was looking forward to dying.
He was decidedly looking forward to dying, yes. This is the last big thrill.
And for people who don't remember, Randall Toomey is the guy that slaughtered his entire family aboard a chartered fishing boat and used parts of their body for bait before he was arrested by the French Coast Guard. Was that it?
Yes, he was taken into custody by the French Coast Guard and then eventually the U.S. Coast Guard. Yes. Quite horrible stories. But you need to understand that these are people that we have in our midst, and we do have to deal with them, because dealing with them is the next best thing to, well, I don't know, dating them. You know.
Jesus.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it, Herb.
All right, this is Herb Sewell from the Chumash Indian Bingo. I should be in Santa Maria. I'm being a bad boy. You know, I'm just playing a little bit of video poker, Phil.
Yeah, that's fine, man. Thanks a lot for the Michael Jackson update.
That guy really is weird, ain't he?
Weird? Weird don't even begin to tell the story of Herb Blanchard Hoyle. This guy knows more sickos. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up later on, Jeff Dowder will join us with another feature, What Would Jesus Do? That's right, Jeff Dowder with his feature, What Would Jesus Do? In just a few minutes here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. And our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. Our new DVD of the week, Colors, featuring Robert Duvall and Sean Penn. If you go to our website, you'll see we recommend the movie Colors. And the best line in the movie was spoken by a hearing officer played by the former TV cop Richard Rust. And the line is, "Mister, you shot a man just because he was reaching for his pants." That's from the film Colors, and that is our DVD of the week. If you want to take a look at a younger version of Phil Hendry, we actually have a picture of me at the Rose Parade on New Year's Day in Pasadena, California, 1997. And this is back when the station I was working for at the time would say, "Why don't you go out to the Rose Parade, Phil, and you can do a number of different voices, and it'll just be, hoo-hoo, funny." I said, "Yes, sir." So I went out, and along with Margaret Gray and Harvey Wireman, did all 2 hours of the Rose Parade. Now, as you might imagine, two solid hours of Margaret and Harvey and very few commercial interruptions is bad. It's not good for your voice. And on top of that, it is New Year's morning, and do you think that I'm not going to be celebrating the night before just because I have to work? No. So it was pretty bad, man. And in any event, as I recall, the 97 Rose Parade highlight was Harvey was following Donna DeVerona into the porta potty, banging on the door, telling her to get out of there because he had to use the can. It was pretty funny because we were up in the, you know, press box, and you can see, like, off to my left, there were some radio stations. Then off to my right was the ABC booth, the ABC television booth. And it was Donna DeVerona, and it was that guy with the lisp that used to do Monday Night Football, Dan Dierdorf. So I started doing the Margaret voice, and right in front of you are the people sitting watching the damn Rose Parade, right? So all of a sudden, these people are turning around going, "What in the love of God is this guy doing?" And then Dierdorf kind of like, I can well imagine going, "That's right, Donna, and right here at the wonderful float, and holy Christ." He turns around and looks at me. You know, he turns around and looks at me, some guy up there doing shtick at his beloved Rose Parade. I got to tell you something. I did three of those, and I said, "Don't you ever even so much as put me anywhere within 6 miles of that place again." It was horrible. Just horrible. You know, I should have learned my lesson. As a kid, I hated going to the Rose Parade. Unless when I was like a teenager hanging out on the street, that's one thing. But when they packed you up in the car at 4 a.m. and drove you down there, and your dad's all, "Let's go to the parade!" And you got blankets, and there's hot cocoa, but it doesn't matter because the adults are dragging you along up these big steps in this large grandstand, and you're tired. And it was no different, you know, doing it. And they have these guys in white coats, And they're the Tournament of Roses guys. And this one guy grabbed me because I didn't have the pass. Now, I had to get on the air in a minute because they parked the car 85 miles away. Plus, I'm running through, at the time, I think it was the University of Wisconsin band was all parked out on the street. And because it's just before the thing starts. So you can imagine, there's 100 marching bands all standing around smoking cigarettes, you know, taking a final just toot. Guys, you know, tuning up. Dudes putting on their jackets. Guys putting on the big funny hats that they wear, those big, you know, Music Man hats. And here comes Henry running through the tuba section, banging into trombones and stuff. I can hear guys going,
"What in the name of Jesus? Well, this is the Badger Marching Band, you jackball."
I said, "Sorry, man,
sure."
And then I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm running. I'm looking at my watch. I got a minute to go. They're going to come out of the news. They're going to expect Henry to be there. I see this kind of a cordon of some kind. And a guy in a white jacket, and he's checking passes. I don't have a pass. Nobody gave me a pass. They just said, go over there. I ran right by this guy. And this freaking guy in a white jacket comes running after me. He's, hey, sir. You guys should try this. Just keep running until they catch you. Because if you're going somewhere you're supposed to be, then the guy's going to go, oh, you're supposed to be there. And if you're not supposed to be there, you can outrun any guy in a white jacket, can't you? Some dude in a white freaking... Anyway, I ran all the way up the grandstand. I sat down, and this guy's still running after me. I said, well, you know what? You're going to have to arrest me because I've got to be on the air right now. And, well, I don't... Let me see your pass. I don't have a pass. You want to see my pass? Here, let me pull my pants down. There's my pass. What do you mean you want to see my... I got to go, and I got to do this thing here.
Well, it's highly irregular.
Yeah, uh-huh. Anyway, that was the end of that, but... I'll never forget Dan Durdorf turning around and looking at me and going... You know, he's starting his whole pitch.
And it's the wonderful Tournament of Roses Parade. I'm Dan Dierdorf, and I had my faith kicked in by Conrad Doblerth. And here it comes, the Arcadia High School Marching Band. And meanwhile, I'm going,
yes, Phil, it's a beautiful day.
And over here, it's what in holy Jesus?
He looks back, and there's Henry doing his goofy thing, you know. And then Donna DeVerona, you remember her? She was like the swimmer. What is it with these people? Donna DeVerona, she's like the Tournament of Roses, you know, color commentator. And suddenly she went down and she's using one of the porta cans out behind the grandstand. So we made like Harvey followed her in there. You know, you can hear,
hey, DeVerona, get your hind end out of there. Why, with all the swimming you've done and the toning on your backside, you ought to be able to keep it squeezed in for, you know.
And pretty soon the Rose Parade said, we don't want him back. So you can see that at our website, too, www.philhenryshow.com. The other thing I just wanted to, one kind of a quick deal. If you guys look at our pilots, you know, everybody wanted to see our pilots, so we got them up. And I also have the story behind each pilot. If you want to read that, you can see who the people were and kind of where everything was going. And we started the show today with a goofy thing where I was talking with Cowboy Jim and the kids, you know, and I said, well, I had a pitch meeting today at Comedy Central, and I decided to blow it off. Well, that's actually true, and it happened last night as Marie and I were celebrating our 8th wedding anniversary there at the Beau Rivage, and I said to her, you know, I'm having such a good time, and I got to get up early tomorrow. And she said, well, why? She says, you're not working until, you know, later in the day because you're working at night. And I said, well, I gotta go down to Comedy Central, and I got an appointment to see them. And she said, why? I said, well, to pitch ideas. And she says, my good wife, ain't those the guys that put crossballs on the air? I said, wait a minute. You're right. She goes, why would you want to go down and talk to them about anything other than, you know, maybe somebody being in your parking space? I said, you know, you're right about that, baby. She said, I wouldn't have nothing to do with them. I said, you're right about that, too. And then she said, could I have more of the $100 beluga caviar? And I said, sure. So this morning, I called him up. I said, I ain't coming down there. He said, oh, right, Mr. Henry. I said, you know what? I got kind of an ache in my groinatal area. And I'm afraid that I won't be able to make it. Or some kind of crap like that. But I just, you know what, man? Leave it to the little lady. She says, why do you even want to give those guys 2 seconds of your time when they're stealing your stuff? I said, you're right. So, screw you, Comedy Central. That's the last day. Besides, the only thing funny on your network is South Park. And Trey and Matt are really good, close, personal friends of mine. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, at least, you know, for the 2 months that I did their movie.
Those guys think I'm okay. I don't need to know anybody else in your freaking network. There ain't nothing on there that's funny. Jon Stewart's funny when he ain't on The Daily Show. Okay, now that I've really put one foot in it, bud.
Yeah, you've pretty much destroyed your relationship there.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dowder coming up with What Would Jesus Do? What would Jesus do in different situations? We're going to explore that coming up here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
It's time for What Would Jesus Do? With Jeff Dowder and me, Phil Hendry. Well, Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing very good, Mr. Hendry. Welcome to What Would Jesus Do? I'm Jeff Dowder.
Right. Okay, Jeff, interesting situation and scenario that you've presented to us today on What Would Jesus Do? By the way, why am I listening to South American mambo music?
This is music that I picked for the segment. I don't understand.
It's just, I don't know, man.
You know, why don't we just move on with the segment? I point out what the music's about. It's perfectly in keeping with it.
I feel like I'm on holiday, man, in Cancun. What are you talking about? What would Jesus do?
Just forget about it, man. Forget about it. You're harshing everything up. You're harshing it all the way out. You're taking me too far out, man. Shut up.
All right, anyway, Jeff, this is an interesting scenario.
Now I gotta start it all over again. Hello, everybody, I'm Jeff Dowder.
Yeah, hi, and I'm Phil Hendry. This is What Would Jesus Do? Okay, this is a great segment here. You posed the question, what would Jesus do if he repeatedly told the newspaper kid to stop throwing his paper on the lawn because it gets wet?
That's correct, Phil.
Okay, what would Jesus do?
All right, that's a very interesting question that we posed today on What Would Jesus Do? What would he do if he kept telling this kid, hey, kid, don't throw it on the lawn because the sprinklers go on at 5 a.m., okay? Because it gets wet. Put it on the driveway, and that way I'm able to read the newspaper. Thank you very much. And the kid kept doing it. Okay, what Jesus would do in a situation like that, I'm sure we could all imagine, he would probably, when the kid comes riding up, and Jesus would probably wait up for him this time and go, okay, I told the kid three mornings in a row, man, don't put it on the lawn. Don't put it on the lawn. Okay, look, yeah, there he did it. He threw it on the lawn. Jesus would step out on the front porch and shoot electricity out of his fingers and send the kid all to hell.
And that's what Jesus would do, huh?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Just shoot electricity out of his fingers. Just the kid would just get all cooked off to hell.
Okay, here's another one. What would Jesus do to the insurgents in Iraq?
Yeah, that poses a really good question. What would Jesus do to the insurgents in Iraq? Because, number one, Jesus was nonviolent, okay? So a lot of people believe that Jesus would deal in a non-harsh manner on account of the insurgents in Iraq, okay? So here's what Jesus would do if, like, a carload of Muslims was coming up to bomb, say, a U.S. checkpoint, and Jesus was standing there talking to the American soldiers.
Right.
He would stare at the Muslims in the car bomb car the way the kids in Village of the Dam did. His eyes just go, and he'd get them to turn it around and just head on off the other way down to, like, Bin Laden's house or something, just blow it out there or something, probably. The way I figure it.
He'd stare at them like the kids did in Village of the Damned. I don't remember that.
Oh, you didn't see that? It was awesome. the kids' eyes would turn all white, and they'd go, woo-hoo, and they'd stare at a dude, and the dude turned like a shotgun, stuck it in his mouth, and blew his own head off.
Gee, that's great, man.
Yeah, man, they had hypnotic powers. I'm sure you'd agree. Jesus or Jesus probably had the same, man. All right, so that's my two what would Jesus do situations. If you have a situation where you'd like to know what Jesus would do, send it in to what would Jesus do, phs@philhenryshow.com, and we'll let you know what he'd do. I'm Jeff Dowder, and this is What Would Jesus Do?
What the hell, man? I mean, I'm listening to something like, yeah, can I get another margarita over here and another bag of those chips? He'd stare at them like the kids in Village of the Dam, make them turn around and blow up Bin Laden's house. It's funny how a lot of people think Jesus is just like a superhero. Well, I guess he was, wasn't he? A superhero of your soul. You know, I'm going to Mass, bud.
Yeah, I heard.
I am, man. I'm going to Mass. I'm doing a whole religious thing.
Yeah, you're a sellout.
No, I'm not. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm combining it with my Buddhism, man.
What?
I think you can be Catholic and be like all mystic and stuff. Like when you say the rosary?
Yeah.
It's like chanting, man. It's like Buddhist chanting.
You're high on some mixture of chemicals.
No, I'm not, man. You know how Buddhists chant, right?
Yeah.
Why can't you call Santa Rosary chanting? It's all kind of yoga stuff.
Get out of here. No yoga and being Catholic. Since when is it yoga to touch a kid's area?
Oh, you're still hung up on that, huh?
Yeah, a little bit, man.
All right, I can't get through to you, dude.
No, I guess not. Yeah, come on into the confessional, kid. Let's do some yoga. This one's called Finger in Butt.
All right, never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Insider anchor Pat O'Brien enters alcohol rehab. Television host Pat O'Brien, anchor of the Insider News magazine, has entered an alcohol rehabilitation program, according to a written statement. I've had a problem with alcohol. I've decided to take action by checking myself into an intensive recovery program, the 57-year-old broadcast journalist said. Overcoming this problem is a top priority in my life, and I'm excited to return to work as soon as I'm able. Aha! So there's the phrase that I was looking for. I'm excited to return to work as soon as I'm able. Now, this whole alcoholism thing, by the way, I was listening to Pat O'Brien on one of the local sports shows. He was with the Loose Cannons, and while they were having a lot of fun, the two guys, Steve Hartman and Michael Thompson, O'Brien sounded like he was about 4 seconds behind everything they were saying. In other words, he sounded like maybe he'd had a couple for lunch. You know, they'd say, hey, and another thing, and this and that, and O'Brien's, huh? What did you? Oh, yeah. You know how people are when they don't get the joke? Yeah, and anyway, so we saw Kobe, and it looked like he's up to his old tricks again. There's another white chick, you know. You were talking about the Colorado thing, right? No. Never mind. Oh, okay. Well, say, who do you like in the Super Bowl, man? What do you like the Eagles? Or do you like the Patriots? Well, I don't know. I think yeah. It's a whole damn thing. Yeah, it's just say, you all right, Pat? I thought he'd had a stroke. Now I just find out he was drunk. Oh, thank God. There are no details about the recovery facility or when O'Brien entered the program. O'Brien, who covered the Summer Olympics in Greece and a whole bunch of other crap, yada, yada. He hosted Entertainment Tonight. Wasn't he the one that had, what's her name? Paris Hilton had his home phone number, right? That's what you get for hanging around with her, man. Oh, man.
You think you're going to show her how to drink. How does it feel, Pat? You're going to alcohol rehab, and Paris Hilton just came out with another book, and she's doing a TV show, and she's just doing fine. He occasionally hosted Entertainment Tonight. He became the full-time host of Access Hollywood. Then he began hosting The Insider. Now, Manfred Westfall, a spokesman for Paramount Domestic Television, which syndicates The Insider, said, "We support Pat's decision to seek treatment. He had been coming into work looking a little worn around the edges, and his breath was not pleasant. So we're very happy that he's finally checked himself into alcohol rehab. I'd suggested it at a pool party at his house last summer, but all he did was just sort of shrug his shoulders, laugh, and throw his drink into the pool." So said Manfred Westfall. "He also made fun of my name," Manfred said, "and made inappropriate comments as to my sexual orientation." Westfall said the show's New York host, Laura Spencer, will take over, which means basically Pat's fired, Laura's got the job, during his, quote, absence. During his abscess. So that's a drag, man. You know, the whole alcohol rehab thing, anytime anybody goes into booze rehabilitation, I promise you guys this, if I ever go into alcohol rehab, I will broadcast every day from inside the nut house, right inside the dryout center. I'm not taking any time off from work. The least I can do is if I go inside because I can't hold a drink, oh, I ain't going to be sitting there on my dead can going to some AA meeting. Yeah, well, you know, it all started while some other dude's doing my show. No, 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 no. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. I'm going to go to my AA meeting. I'm going to go back to the day room wherever they set up my broadcast thing, and I'm going to do my show. And I think it's the least that Pat O'Brien could do, too. And I say this with all due respect, Mr. O'Brien. God bless you. I don't care if you're doing The Insider in your pajamas. You're doing it. Wouldn't that be cool if the guy's there in his pajamas and a robe? And there's a doctor standing behind him with a hypodermic needle going, "Are you done yet? I just have one more segment." In other news, Paris Hilton is off on a book tour. The guy's waiting to plug him with Thorazine, strap him to a table. Or, I got a great idea. How about if they televise The Insider while Pat's going through the full thralls of DTs, strapped to a gurney being pumped full of peraldehyde? And now Pat O'Brien is like Jack Lemmon in Days of Wine and Roses. Thank you, Pat. You know. Look, as long as we got to read about you guys going into the dryout center, at least we can have a couple of laughs with it. How about a little camera in there? The guy's strapping it down to a gurney. Some big, tall, bald-headed guy. "The doctor taught me how to do this. Everything's going to be fine." And he straps you up, and he's reading your EEG, and they say to you, "Sorry, no can do, no alcohol." Meanwhile, there's like invisible pink mice running all over you. And they got you in a straitjacket. How about if you just take that scene from Days of Wine and Roses when Jack Lemmon's in a straitjacket and he's rolling around on the floor bathed in his own sweat? That's Pat O'Brien's segment. And now to Pat O'Brien. He's just rolling around on the floor in a thing, you know. You think alcoholism's funny, Phil? Frankly, yes. I don't think that what Terry Schiavo's going through is funny. I don't think that the war in Iraq is funny. There's a lot of stuff that's very serious, but alcoholism has now entered the realm of funny to me. Hey, by the way, just so you know, I don't want to tell you how I know this, but it ain't me, okay? It ain't me. Let's just say I've got very good information. I don't know about the other states in the union, but in the state of California, if you get pop drinking and driving, and you think it's going to be some kind of a cakewalk, friend, you don't know what's going on these days. You have no idea what they're doing. You have no idea what's going on out there with the whole DUI thing. And it's probably the same way in the other states. They are lowering the hammer in a big way. They are coming down on you like a freaking broom, Jim. Let me give an example of what's going on. First of all, they pop you. Then they give you what you think is going to be a cakewalk, alcohol rehabilitation, you know, education, where you go to like these alcohol groups and stuff, right? They got guys there that'll walk through the room, and if they so much as smell booze anywhere, if they smell any alcohol anywhere, they will breathalyze everybody in the class. And if they find even 0.1 on you, guess what? Your license is gone. That's right. How do you like that? So in other words, you get arrested for DUI. You go in front of the judge. You don't want to get jail. Your attorney says, oh, we're not going to get jail. Okay, great. Alcohol education program, Your Honor? Yes, fine. Okay, great. Now, for the next 4 months, once a week, you're going to that, and then they make you go to an AA meeting. Now, you may not think you're a juicer, but friend, they'll treat you like one. Now, you go into this alcohol education meeting. Let's say you had a margarita the night before, and you drove cold sober to your alcohol education meeting. And now some guy who's got the nose of death on him, who knows who this guy is, somebody from, yeah, maybe some guy from some Kafka, you know, just super nose or something. They got some dude that's walking through the room. He smells it. Now he breathalyzes everybody in the room. If they pull a .1 on you, just from the night before, guess what? The license that you just got back, they take it again. You're riding a bicycle. Oh, yeah. And then, after that, and then they talk to you any way they want. You go in there, and they go, you know what? You're ugly. What are you telling me that for? You don't have any right to say that. Oh, really? Guess what? I'm the guy that can pull your license. You gotta suck the guy's crap. I'm not kidding you. They got to have a guy there who will say, okay, today we're going to talk about alcohol education. Who smells like a freaking wad of Limburger cheese? Is that you? Is that your armpits, man? You stink. Hey, what are you talking about, man? What's that got to do with anything? You know what? I don't like you. I'm going to breathalyze you, dude. They'll hassle you. I mean, seriously, it's like boot camp. That's how it is here. I bet you it's the same way everywhere else in the country. You're dead meat. And in Japan, if you think about driving over there drunk, I know many of you are planning on going to Japan to drive drunk, they'll cut your tongue out of your head. You know, wonder why there's so many guys coming back from Japan going, I don't know how you're at. You think they learned the language? No, they got no tongue. I'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. I didn't have any chance to actually read any actual email tonight, but we'll go through it and burn what we don't like and see if there's anything that's actually usable, anything that's legible, and we'll read some of it on the air, and the rest of it we'll wipe with. By the way, I'm joking, of course. We have great respect for everybody that emails us, sort of. By the way, when you send material to the show, and this program is unlike a lot of shows, people submit. This is like a magazine or something. It's like a magazine slash TV show. People submit material. We don't really accept it, only because I've got legal problems with that. I mean, a lot of times I'll say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, I'll use it, but I'm not looking to have you guys submit material. Otherwise, I get sued or something. You know what I'm saying? People are going to want me to pay them, and I ain't paying nobody for nothing, right? So generally, we'll take it and we'll say, thank you, but I can't use this stuff, all right, if you don't mind. That's if you send us anything that's even remote. If it's actually really good, then I'll pretend like I never heard of you, and we'll use it all we want. In any event, just do yourself a favor. Don't send me any stuff, please. The Cowboy Jim Show. We'd like to thank Cowboy Jim for being on. Ted Bell, Bud Dickman, of course, and of course, Danny Ackley, a.k.a. Jack Ball, on The Phil Hendry Show.